Cool, man.
We're ready. All right, boys. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. And like I said before, what better way to introduce yourselves, but like to tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, cool. So Ryan and I'm Callum. We actually began our friendship as housemates.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting facts off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
couldn't live without each other.
Yeah. Began as housemates, evolved into friends, and then eventually convinced Callum to join the murky world of recruitment.
Yeah. What were you doing before?
I was a buyer's advocate, like property. So,
right.
Yeah, instead of, I guess, really? Finding a human being, I was finding a property. So very similar sort of process, I guess.
You always been recruiting?
So,
in the industry?
Yeah, for 10 years recruitment. But I think Cal got a bit starry-eyed. So my last role, there was an incentive trip to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's right.
That,
really?
Because my partner hadn't just started a new job. She was like, oh, you'll have to take a friend. And I was like, what? So I said, Cal, we've got a free pass.
This is the last hurrah.
Puerto Rico. And he was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. So we got pretty well looked after. And yes. I think Cal was like, oh, yeah, recruitment. Yeah. I could do this.
This is in Australia or back
yeah,
in
Yeah, yeah, in Australia. Australia. Yeah, yeah. So a few more drunk conversations and then convince Cal to leave the safe world of real estate to join recruitment. And then
it's not known for safety, and then, is it really?
I mean, it couldn't have timed more perfectly. I mean, COVID straight away.
So, yeah.
And a funny story, when Cal first came over, we all had to work from home. His first day was like, and I was just like, oh no. We're ruined. We're done. And he was so stressed. He went to the fridge and got himself a bourbon out of the fridge.
It was a Monday afternoon. It was probably about 3:30. Really.
Yeah. Like, so you were in the clear.
Yeah. We were sort of like twiddling our thumbs for about six hours.
I was just like, oh, it's fucked, yeah. Isn't it? Oh God, we're done, aren't we?
Yeah.
So that was.
Was this like 2020?
March 2020.
In
Australia,
we
really
could not have timed it better. It was like,
so when did you guys officially launch per se?
So I launched it about 8 months previously.
Oh wow! So you're already like a sort of I'm not going to say like established business, but like you're at the point where you're like
Ryan had runs on the board at that point, and ready to make a hire.
Yeah, so it was kind of to the point where I was struggling to service. So you know, Cal left his job, and then bang, straight with COVID, and I mean,
reality was in my old job, it probably wouldn't have been any better. You know, there was
It was
real. It would have happened anyways, right?
Exactly. There was no open homes, it was a similar sort of feeling.
I still remember going through leasing a place and then going through the live video and just asking the lady to open the cupboard. Then you got we got the place, but the first time we saw the place physically was after we signed the lease.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went in there and it was perfect. Like it was great.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, well, can you imagine going the other way?
It was a game changer for a lot of industry, but what was interesting as well is that didn't that kind of work in your advantage? Because all of a sudden, like, there's this void of talent in Australia and from what it seems like, and then like, you know, like there's like this massive need for digital. And I'm guessing that's a big part of your business as well, right?
I mean, we're across digital creative marketing, but I guess, you know, probably you span the first few months.
It was a famine to a feast in some regards, you know, like it was on a bit of a knife's edge, wasn't it, for a few months, and then kind of June, July rolled around, we got a couple of briefs come in and that kept us hanging in there. And then once CAM started, in November 2020.
Was he high number?
He was number three. Steph started, I think, shortly after Dave started, and
I remember you guys were multiplying like gremlins, you know, like, just like, I remember my DM to Ryan one day, it's like, you launched your website, and I just reached out and was like, man, really cool website.
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking for a job, it was just like, really cool website, I was still freelancing.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's great. And then next time I refresh LinkedIn, there's like five of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, wow. What's when?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit of a purple patch, definitely, wasn't there?
But it was funny because we, you know, I think the joke that the Commons is like the Titanic, you know, the higher you go up, the more you made it. And for ages,
you
we were.
The band plane.
Yeah. We were the rats of like.
Which is Cam's impression.
We were like Jack down the bottom. Yeah.
We got the boo that we just like, we commandeered it for the day and we just like have us all round and everyone was like going, well.
Did you ever get the steam guy from anyone?
Oh, like there was definitely like, there was five of us at times like hovering around a table and people were a bit like, you guys need an office now, sort of thing.
And then I think there was like six of us in Melbourne and we took
in
a lease.
Booth, in one booth.
We took a lease for a four person office. So we're like, well, this isn't practical, but it's like, we can't quite afford, you've got to keep sensible.
Yeah.
So like even day one of our new office, which should be a nice feeling, was just grim. Like we were just in this little box, like having to walk outside every time you took a phone.
It was like
call.
A glorified booth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're in a phone booth, so
it's just a COVID spreader, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's just all locked in.
Did you guys get all sick as soon as everyone went into the
office? We don't
want
to get that out, mate. We don't want people to know.
I mean, no, you want to see you guys. I mean, people.
Yeah,
But yeah, it's and what. Few weeks ago we've moved into an 8-person office and we're on the second floor now, so
nice.
Sydney's got their own
office.
The
view.
Is that Surrey Hills?
You
there,
right?
Commons there.
Not to Surrey Hills, we were talking about that before. I went to George Street, but Surrey Hills apparently is beautiful.
Surrey Hills is lovely. So we've got an office up there. Just hired a girl
Dakota
her name is she's based in Gold Coast. And then we'll be looking to launch the UK office soon.
Nice.
Oh, wow. You're expanding globally now.
Wow. Man. I mean, we'll see.
Does this mean that you're going back to the UK to kind of start leading the way?
I think we'll share the European summer.
European, yeah. Year on, year off.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. Nice.
Like, it's fun.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Alan and I were talking to people in Mexico, potential clients, and then it's just hard to make it work.
Yeah.
Just like, how much work can we do? How much can they afford?
Yeah.
And then I was just saying to Alan the other day on message, I was like, maybe we just need people working in Mexico so it can be affordable for everyone, but still keep a business because we really want to work with these people.
You just want an excuse to go back to Mexico, don't you? That's what it's all about. I gotta keep my Spanish.
I'm forgetting my Spanish.
I guess it is nice to kind of think about like expanding to new markets, right? And you guys would know the UK market well, I'm guessing, as well. So it kind of makes sense.
I think we're seeing it as an opportunity for Aussies going to the UK, UK's moving to Aussie. I mean, they're the two very easy ones we can deal with straight away and then actually build a market over there. So
maybe this is your chance to clean up the recruitment reputation industry in the UK.
we're
getting there, man. We got to talk about that, right?
Yeah, well, you can bring it up. Yeah, and this is like, maybe I can answer this because I'll probably come into it. I think it gets a bit of a bad rep and maybe it has improved a fair bit because it had to over the last sort of decade or longer. But, you know, like it is.
I think it works.
It's a bit unfair. I think recruiters get slagged a bit. I'm not trying to defend them because they don't always do themselves favours. Yeah. But I think as an industry, I don't know, I feel like it has improved a lot.
Do you think there's like a generalization as well? Like people put you in this spot, like this is a profile of a recruiter without like actually realizing that you can't put everyone in the same bag.
Absolutely. There's good and bad.
There's good and bad in every industry.
Defense, you know, there's very questionable behavior from candidates when there's the power with the candidate, power with the client, there's questionable behavior. I think it ultimately comes down to who has the upper hand in terms of leveraging the conversation. But you're right, there's good and bad in everything. You know, when you start a conversation with a client and it starts with, oh, I don't like recruiters, you go, well,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, is that really how you're going to start this relationship? You know, like, you're not really making me go, oh, let me work with you. But then I think,
what's the reason behind they don't like recruiters? What do they usually say?
Because I think there's a general feeling that they're an evil necessity, you know. Right. Like, you know, there's okay. you know, we're only there to make money.
I mean, you have to right. get paid. Like, you're doing a job, right? Like,
exactly.
But isn't that like two way street relationship? Like, yeah. like both parties kind of benefit from the relationship anyway. Yeah. Like, what would you be like? Oh, I don't want to work with recruiters. Like, if anything, you guys actually will help them a lot.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. I mean, a story that come back to often is when we started, we met a client who said, you know, you work for us, we're the person who pays the bills, and we stopped the meeting and said, well, actually, we work for the candidate and the client 50-50, because without one, there's no, they just didn't accept that and said, we don't want to work with you. And then, you know, lo and behold, further down the track, it is a candidate, you know, so we've got to stick up for candidates. And as part of our service agreement with clients, we make clients sign a document that says, you know, we're going to have feedback to candidates within 2 weeks, you know, sorry, within, you know, a certain period of time. And without that, like, candidates are sick of that sort of bad treatment. So we've got to hold clients accountable just as we, you know, there's accountability for everyone. Yeah.
No, that's good. Look, Ben, I've worked with really good recruiters and they're really bad ones. Just I'm sure they have stories about me as well, like you know, that Ollie guy, fucking can't speak English, he sucks. I'll see the next one. I don't know, you know,
this Mexican,
he's forgotten his Spanish, his English is average.
He says Mexican.
He's not working. That's he's it. Just like playing
as much as Spanish, English as he can say.
But yeah, it's like excuse me. Oh, it's just making me cry, this story. It takes me back. What was I saying? Yeah, and then it's just like, you can't put everyone on the same back.
No.
I think you and I have had experiences with recruiters.
Yeah.
And some they get it, some they don't get it. And
I
always say to them, I don't mind if you're making a buck, because I know you have a
living out of that. Yeah, everyone appreciates that.
As long as
that.
We can agree on it, like, don't tell me that there's no budget when you know that, like, there is.
The
same way I'm not going to tell you that this is my rate just for the sake of getting more money.
And
there's like a, sometimes once you build that relationship, I'm trying to say, once you build a relationship, then you're like talking like it's, this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you never gave me a job. So
I think I approached you about a few, didn't I? You said no every time.
I think you're spot on, man. It's like, it's the relationship. Like, once I learned that working with a recruiter was not so much about the job that they were going to get me, but the relationship that I had with them, everything changed. Because then I was thinking, well, you know, if they help me get the job and I get the gig and I stay at the gig because I like it, then they also benefit from that relationship. So it's like a, you know, it's a win-win situation, win-win, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think as long as you find that person that is looking after you, and in reverse, you look after them in a way, then, you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's a core of what we do. And I know it sounds cliche, but we actually care about the people we work with.
You have to, man. You're people's person. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have to be.
Exactly. And I think we also try and just have a bit of fun with it as well. Nice. Like, because, like, there is a lot of, like, it's all serious, but it's not really that serious, is it? Like, we're finding creatives for agencies. Like, one's going to die if
you're
we
not,
don't
you're
find,
not hiring
like,
for banks and
surgeons.
Maybe
or,
you are.
Not nurses. And,
or,
and that's kind of why we play in this field.
It's like
because,
real professionals.
Actual surgeons.
Were you always, like, did you always knew you wanted to work with creatives?
I mean, so I when I started in recruitment, it was more IT focused and very devs, and you know, and it didn't necessarily connect with me because I didn't really understand what they were talking about.
Yeah,
I genuinely I'd go into an interview and go, my first, are you a front end or a back end developer? And it was like,
full stack. What's full stack mean?
But imagine like putting myself in their shoes with like some.
Yeah,
young English guy who has no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, they're in some oversized suit going, are you a front end or a back end developer? They're like, well, you don't know anything. So I cringe at those, but
yeah,
I don't know, like account managers,
yeah,
you know, they're just nice, I don't know, easy going people. And that's why I think the industry is good, because there's a lot of creativity and there's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
they just need to clean up their act in terms of actually looking after staff, because people don't study or go to award school to end up in some big corporate machine. They go there because they are fed up with the shit that goes with an agency, and you get to a certain point in life where you go, I'd rather just have stability and normality rather than this crazy wave of like up and down emotions. Like, you know, people just get over it. And I think unless there is some change, you know, there'll be less and less people getting into it, maybe.
You were talking about like, just going back to the point of building the relationship and kind of like having fun with it. Thanks, man. I really like that because it's like you have fun with it, you get to meet the candidate very well, even the clients, I'm guessing, at some point.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure that kind of makes the job of connecting the two easier, because then you can be like, oh, I got this Mexican guy, he's super relaxed, you know, this is his personality. Yeah. You kind of sell the personality more than the skill.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing what the role is.
No, that's 100% right. Like, you're trying to sell the candidate as much as you're trying to sell the business, and like, there's certain candidates that you speak to that you're like, oh, I don't think they're going to work. They're a great candidate, but I don't think they're probably going to work with that business. You don't say that to them, but you just know. Like, you just
it's just like how you would go. I'm sure there's people in your friendship circle that you go, that person would get on well with that person, but they wouldn't necessarily with another person.
I don't even have friends, but yeah.
Yeah.
I just realised this is a terrible example.
You want to become a recruiter, don't you?
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I just realised you like the version of Tinder.
Left and right.
Like, you're actually doing matches. You're matching.
They're like matchmakers.
Yeah, matchmakers. Yeah. I love that, man. And that's
like the old lady matching the couples. The Indian couple.
Yeah.
It's very well known, that culture.
Yeah. But ultimately, like, yeah, I really love that concept of just knowing the client, knowing the candidate very well, and kind of knowing you guys know both very well, so you kind of make the decision, yeah, this person will fit here perfectly,
yeah,
let's connect them.
Do you guys get most of your leads through LinkedIn?
A large chunk.
Is it all organic, or do you like actually pay for it?
No, it's all organic. We don't pay.
Well, you pay your staff so they can reach out, right?
We don't pay staff.
I get with you.
No, so we've actually just hired a marketing content specialist who started with us 3 weeks ago.
Smart move, mate. Nice.
Purely because we were pretty much a one-trick pony. Like, everything's going on LinkedIn. Then we've actually got some, I think, valuable insights that we can actually package up and put together through campaigns, emails, etc. So we're trying to take what we've got and actually put some sort of process and, you know, and be able to reach a more targeted approach.
So this is like educational content, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, an example would be, you know, sending out an email around how to actually onboard someone correctly, so basically being able to provide papers or documents for businesses to use as keep within their internal documents themselves.
Yeah, I cannot tell you the number of times I've gone to a gig.
Yeah.
And I keep going talking about me, but it's just so many experiences.
But you freelance, like, that is probably
just going in, and it's like, all right, here's a brief. I need access to we'll sort it out.
Yeah,
and then 4 hours go by.
Right,
you've been there before.
That was such a great point.
This is getting very technical, but I need fonts. Okay, we'll talk to someone.
Yeah,
I need email. Man, you're just wasting your.
Money,
and everybody's time,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
It's just like, and then I will call you, or you know,
yeah,
it's like, man, this is going on, you'll be like, oh, fuck, okay,
it's
just a horrible.
So, this is just amazing, like, you guys are doing something like that, because just, you know, I think you and I have the Notion page set up in a way that works for us,
but
if we wanted to bring someone, you'd be like, is it really there?
We've been in situations where, like, we've waited easily 4 days, right? And nothing happened. And they were like, oh, we need you ASAP, right? Like, that's always the thing.
Yeah.
We need to start on Monday. We're like, okay, we're ready, right?
Yeah.
We start on Monday. By Thursday, maybe we get our email set up.
Yeah.
And it's like,
you're using your personal email this whole time.
Yeah.
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 It's like, we feel bad because they're like, they literally, like, they're paying for our time and we're like sitting there and doing nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and I, after experiencing this, you know, like I started using my own software, my own licenses.
Mm.
I started adding that to the hourly rate, and then all of a sudden it's like increased by 30%.
Yeah.
So the same recruiter comes back to me a month later. It's like, what happened? I was like, well, remember last gig?
Mm.
So I'm using all my resources.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would thought it was unfair. But,
Is there anything like that, like aside from any other pain points that you like always see, like any patterns, like onboarding is a big one, but is there anything else that like...
Invoices.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
the interview process is like very different for a lot of businesses. Like I feel like...
Oh, yeah?
And you got to give, I think, some businesses credit, but like they're going in and they're like, oh, we need to hire this person, but they haven't actually thought about how they're going to execute and how they're going to get this person through the process in a nice... A process that the candidate feels confident that they can, you know, get things right. So it's like the interview process, like give it some thought. Hey, what are you going to, you know, have you got the task ready to go? How many times are you going to interview them? Is the CEO or the GM or, you know, whoever wants to sign off on that hire actually ready to go? Or, you know, are they skiing in France, you know?
Agencies are so reactive. Like they'll be like, we've just lost someone. We need, and you're like, okay, well, what do you need?
Yeah.
And it's like, you kind of almost have to just kind of accept that that's the way it is.
Mm.
But that doesn't say, like, we are trying to educate them and, you know, advise on how to become better at the process. But it's the Wild West at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. You just like, because.
Well, how many times have you two been ringing on a Friday morning because an agency needs a freelancer for Monday and then, you know, you don't hear back until, you know, 5:30, you know? Like, I can do it.
But it's all like, it happened today, man. Like, literally, it's like, oh, we need this job for yesterday. And then you're like, okay, are you guys ready?
Mm.
Not really. Mm. And you're like, wait, like, how does this work?
Yeah.
But you're right, man. Like, I'm guessing, like, at some point, there's only so much you can do as well. Like, you're obviously trying to educate your clients, but...
Yeah, and I guess that's, again, that conversation you have with clients where if a placement doesn't work out, we've got to look at, okay, why didn't it and what could we learn from it before we start going out and trying to find someone different. It doesn't happen very often, but inevitably in this market, people are going to take new jobs if they're not 100% sold on where they've gone.
Yeah,
and you're seeing people not even bothering to update their LinkedIn anymore. They just start a job, see how it goes, move on. And it's like, well, you never went in the office. There's no that emotional commitment. And it's just like, close the laptop, move on to the next job. So
when you share this kind of stories, or you can as well, on LinkedIn, sometimes it gets very specific. Like, someone would know you're talking about them. You know, like, I would know if you talk about what's going on right now. How does that, is there any backlash? And so tell us a good story about...
I mean, yes, in all honesty, we have had moments where a client has basically gone, you know,
I share a little story?
Yes.
So early days, like I felt, don't
name drop
it. No.
He crossed his arms
I think we're talking about like business problems and stuff like that. And I hope Rye calls me out. But there was one example where Rye was like,
there's no budget for cutting
things. And I 100% agree with what Ryan put up on LinkedIn. And I said, mate, that, I agree with you. We're on the same page, but can you just wait maybe a few weeks and like not go straight with it? And and like, you know, we use LinkedIn to, you know, call out a few things that are completely wrong. Like, it needs to be said, but it's probably,
you know, some of the stuff that we witness is not ethical and it's not right and it's stuff like. So I don't really have any qualms calling out unethical behaviour, and if it offends someone for that reason, well, they're not our target audience anyway, and it almost just clears out the clutter.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
So I think, you know, I think sometimes people, when they're trying to do top content, is they're trying to be all things to everyone, and it just ends up just being quite bland and you know, and because you don't want to offend anyone, and it's just like, it doesn't really get any cut through because everyone's like, well, that's just a vague comment. But, you know, maybe we go too far.
You've gotten emails from clients saying like, I think you're talking about me. I don't appreciate that.
Nah. We've never had that, have we? No.
We'll agree on no.
Yeah, we'll agree on no.
Well, but you've been genuine, and that's what matters the most. And clearly you're doing something right there, because, mate, like you know, your industry is one of the most competitive out there. Like, you know, there's a lot of recruitment agencies, and the fact that you're growing so big means that you're doing something right. So, you know, whether it's by building the right relationships, educating people, telling the truth, you know.
Throwing parties.
Throwing parties. All the ideas are Ryan's. That's it. That's it. They're all the marketing ideas are Ryan's. So I'm happy.
Anyone who doesn't know about your parties, 10-second pitch.
Oh, they're just good fun.
I mean, there's zero recruitment chat. It's we get some loudspeakers, cam DJs for a few hours, and we get pissed. Like it's you know.
But it's in the rooftop, which is pretty amazing setup.
Yeah. Right? We're probably lucky on that front, aren't we? The Commons just built that for us.
And you get the rooftop
sunset party. It's amazing.
It works well for where we want to do it. It's more of just like kind of a thank you. Let's just have fun. And that's kind of where you know, we don't.
What's Cam's rate on the decks?
For you?
You hooked me up later.
By the way, for those who are listening who don't know what the Commons is, it's a co-working space where you know we all work, and that's how we met. Actually, I think you two messaged each other from before the Commons.
Yeah, I think you had an OnlyFans account, and I was like,
right, do the bulldog.
Can we armpit? I thought we'd leave the house.
You know, cross paths, and as I was joking about before, we actually never worked together, but apparently,
you've helped us out on the mentor program, like the mentor programs that we've done and stuff. Like
it all comes around. Yeah,
yeah,
man. Can we talk about that? I love the fact that you guys also doing that. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it kind of stemmed from having particular. I think when COVID first hit, senior creatives were really affected. Like, as in there was a lot of redundancies made at that, and you're having just these conversations with people that have been in secure employment 15, 20 years. They've never had anything like this happen to them. And you can genuinely see there was a hit to their self-esteem. They were just like, oh, what, you know. So we thought, okay, why don't we connect you guys with juniors and, you know, get something happening? Because, we were in a state where there was a lot of people that needed help.
Yeah.
But when you're limited in what you can help, when there's no jobs going, so you can obviously talk to people, but actually making proactive steps to, you know, getting them thinking and getting them helping again is a good way to get the bit of momentum going. And that's kind of what we did for during those 3 months from March to June. It was like, all right, what can we do? Create webinars. Let's connect.
Ideas out.
It was kind of what we needed as internally. To keep us showing up going each day, because there was nothing like, it was, you could just get down and, you know, sit in your pajamas and do nothing for 3 months. But it was like, well, we can just, you know, use this opportunity to develop a bit of a following, a bit of loyalty, kind of, you know, when chips are down, we're gonna show up and try and help people. And, you know, like, as a result, it's kind of helped us shape where we want our brand to be in terms of that, you know, helping people and doing stuff. So, you know, the mentor program is just one thing. We do, you know, things like return to work parents, half price. We saw there was there was a concern. Well, it's ridiculous, but, you know, businesses were hesitant on hiring return to work parents, and, you know, because of, they thought, you know, they wouldn't be able to do the job, in fact, 3 or 4 days a week. So we just said, look, half price across the board. And let's try and change the perception.
So parents get paid half, is that what you're saying?
Yes. and we make the other half. Yeah. They give us half their money.
Yeah, you got to pay for those parties, man.
Exactly. Those speakers aren't paying for themselves.
That fee, man.
Exactly.
No, that's a really good program, man. It's really supporting that. And then sometimes you get candidates and you just talk about them and the skill sets, and if anyone wants to, you know, there's someone available here.
Yeah,
I think that's really valuable as well.
Yeah,
because it's usually the other way around. Like, you either do self promotion, so as a freelancer, you go out there and try to just keep banging on about how good you are. But when somebody else does it for you, that's
powerful. Really
And I think it's, you know, we're leveraging our social audience, and if you're a candidate, you know, particularly if you're new to the market, and we say, we're going to promote you across all our socials and, you know, get you out to as many people as possible. I mean, these posts generate, you know, interviews instantly.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I did a post about a South American candidate on Friday.
Yeah.
Within 15 minutes.
Is that Alex?
Or is it me? Yeah. He's like, I can't deny it. You didn't tell me about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You should have told me. We just sent you CV.
Yeah.
But we had an interview booked within 15 minutes.
Mm.
And
wow.
Like, literally, yeah, someone reached out and went, like, the sound of that person.
And once again, that's a win-win-win. You know, client gets someone, candidate's happy. And obviously, there's a little bit of self-indulgence in there, isn't there?
Yeah, of course, man.
Do you think recruitment will be the same without social media?
We would be a different business completely.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I guess, why we've taken on a marketing content specialist. Mm. We want to then, we can't just put all our eggs in the LinkedIn basket. We've got to start, like, looking at, you know, what's next.
Yeah,
how do we nurture the database? How do we do all the things that I have no idea how they do?
Yeah,
but we brought in someone to do that, which is for us a big move, because up until now it's all been kind of just hiring sort of people, recruiters.
Yeah.
But we just realized that we could grow a lot quicker. We've got someone doing this specifically,
like full time.
Full time.
That's awesome.
Building our brand, doing, like, updating the website, doing all the stuff that just kind of gets talked about that never actually gets done. Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see your recruitment process for your own company.
Yeah.
Or do you outsource that to somebody
else? Charlotte sorted that. So,
because we outsource some of the things that we do internally, like visual stuff that, I mean, we're visual people and then it's assumed that we should do those things.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's no way we're going to do that. You know? And we were talking about before off camera, like, how Ali and I, our creative process is to disagree the whole time. And then one morning we just get up and then not in the same bed.
Somehow
it's like, actually, I like that. That's cool. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And it might have been like a full circle. But in your case, you have to recruit, but that's what you do for a living. And it's like an inception, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a few points on that, though. Like, we disagree sometimes, don't we? And then at the end of it, you come out as a business, you're like, you're better at the end of it, you know? Like,
I mean, I'm the big five steps ahead, but I have no idea how we're going to get those five steps.
And
Cal will be like, okay, well, we need to do this. And I'm like,
okay.
So
that's great. You compliment each other in that way.
Massively. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think, without each other, like, it wouldn't work. Like, and I think if there was two of me, it'd be horrid.
Too many British.
Need a Brit and Aussie to get together.
So what's your deal with that? I said I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
It was very noticeable. What?
I know where you're going to go with this question.
It was very noticeable maybe like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like every recruiter that I met, or at least every other recruiter I met.
Yeah.
It was British.
Yeah.
And nothing against them. Like, in fact, I worked with some of them, like, really for a long time.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was just noticeable, like, all the time. I remember putting a post on LinkedIn when I think the UK lost a match for the World Cup, or was it the Euro Cup, or some.
They lose a lot. Yeah.
They lose a lot. And then I put up something about, like, I feel sorry about all the recruiters in my network. And that was it, you know? And then, like, a soccer ball. And every British recruiter got on board.
You got flooded with messages.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't get a job. Yeah.
That's why you don't get briefed.
They were like, Ali, it's like, we got $10 an hour. Do you want to live it? No, I was like, they didn't get flooded, but it was like, the people started commenting on it and then all British and making fun of the fact that it was true. Mm. But I never understood, like, where is that? It's like every gardener is Mexican, you know, like, kind of, you know, like everyone in the kitchen, everyone in the kitchen from Venezuela. You know,
I wish I had an interesting answer, but it literally was one of, at the time when I came over, on the skill shortage. For some reason, there wasn't enough British recruiters in Australia. So it was like one of the few paths.
They put it up there.
So you, as long as you could, if you had some form of sales background or So there was this big boom of backpackers that came over here with limited skills, me being included.
Yeah, right.
Got a job in a call center. some would go, you'd be good at recruitment. And then you go, all right, yeah, cool. And then next thing you know, you're in an oversized suit asking if you're a front end or a back end. it's a shift.
No training.
That is quite a shift.
From call center to oversized suit. It can happen quite quickly. So there was apparently a shortage back in the day of that.
Right.
But now they've taken away the access to permanent residency through it.
Yeah,
right.
So you'll get people like Callum.
Aussies are back into it now.
Taking your job.
They don't want to do it before us.
Yeah.
I do have a theory for this, and it's the fact that as an outsider, actually, mate, I think like you guys, I don't know whether it's the accent or just, I don't know what it is, man, but like you're really good at sales. Hey, like just every recruiter, like, you know, like you that I've met and I've worked with, they happen to be from the UK.
Mm.
And I don't know, man, there's just a charm about it. Hey, so maybe you don't realize it, but that's what I think it is.
It's really hard to understand the phone sometimes.
Maybe that's what it is. And then I was just like, this guy sounds cool. I'll take the job.
You actually don't get paid for this job.
And I was like, oh, cool.
Sweet. Sign me up.
I think there's a hustle to, like, we've loosely had this conversation, like, but I think there's a bit of a hustle to, I don't know if it's still the case, but English people that were coming over, especially get the visa, they lost their job, lose their visa, they need to make money to probably travel, live in Bondi because they're paying exorbitant rents. there's a hustle to them, I think, that's for sure. So, and a work ethic, so, and especially,
when you're handcuffed by a visa, you'll do anything.
Yeah,
of course. You're literally,
man, I got married for a visa.
We'll cut that bit.
In short, there was a shortage.
No, it's good, man. Like, I always have that question in the back of my head. Like, you know, because I know I
joked. You could have just emailed me if you didn't need to do all this.
Just call me, text me.
This guy loses sleep over this, mate. Like, almost every week, you're like, why is that? Why is that every recruiter that jumps on my LinkedIn feed is from the UK?
Yeah, and now I know.
Yeah.
So now I can go, we can wrap it up.
Done.
And for you, Callum, like, you know, it's funny, like you were saying before, it was like thanks to that trip to Costa Rica.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Oh, even better.
How do you say Puerto Rico in Spanish?
I would say Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's how we say it.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, David.
Yeah, that was a nice and chilled trip.
Yeah.
I love it. It's that would you try recruitment otherwise? Do you reckon you would have be like, oh yeah, I'm keen to switch careers?
It wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have firmly happened if Ryan wasn't there. Definitely not. We spoke about it on that trip and how he wanted to do things a bit differently, and hopefully we can to a certain extent still keep every recruiter says that, don't they? To do things a bit differently, but it definitely wouldn't have happened if Ryan wasn't there, I don't think.
Okay.
And
would you open an office in Puerto Rico?
Mate, it's probably similar to Mexico, isn't it, mate?
There's a huge market in South America, I do believe, actually.
Boutique hotel in Colombia.
It's
just full of digital nomads.
So
I think now the visas are changing around the world.
Bali and
that kind of opens up the opportunity to do that. Bali is a big one.
Yeah. And I think, like, if even, you know, we've got clients who have got offices in the Philippines and stuff, like, you know, wages are rising there, and, you know, you never know. Like, I think there's an opportunity there in the future, but
we're definitely not perfect. I really don't want anyone to, there's probably candidates that have, you know, and not, you know, but I think we, as a business, try. And I think that's the key. Like, we are trying to be a bit different. We're trying to do a little thing. But there's always going to be moments where we're not dropping the ball. But it's about, you know, I also don't think it's about throwing other recruiters under the bus, because I think actually most recruiters I've met are good. solid people.
Yeah.
And I think that the nature of the job actually gives off a false, you know, they're not great, but they're just, I think there's a lot. And I think definitely through COVID, a lot did show their true characters. And I think they're good people, the vast majority of them. And I've got some great relationships with recruiters. So
we had really great parties with recruitment agencies. You guys? The guys.
So, what are you talking to other recruiters? Right?
No.
That type of candidate.
This is before us. This is before us.
That type of candidate.
Floats between the two. Who gets the better rate?
Jesus. Every time, man. No, but no, seriously, guys. I think we can wrap it up there, man. What do you think?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, it's been great having this chat. We get to talk
food. Well, the food is coming. The food is definitely coming.
I'm joking, mate.
I just want to take you home safely. Because I know the drinks keep coming. And
yeah, I'll be staying at yours.
Leave the
go
car.
Back to the old days. Yeah. We live together.
Yeah. Exactly.